What's going on, my Quick Talk family? You ever meet a guy and he's like a super overachiever and he's super nice and he's actually a good dad and like been married for years and years and he's an amazing husband, but his businesses are like mind-bogglingly successful? Like Jonathan Potoshnick is that guy. He's that guy. I mean, I want to be like him when I grow up. He's the real deal, very legitimate. It's crazy. He has humongous businesses that he's founded from nothing, didn't grow up particularly special or anything. He's just got that X factor. And I was excited when he agreed to come back and talk to us today because he is really, 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 really smart. Very down to earth, humble, but we're talking millions and millions and millions and millions in revenue. But he's never lost himself or his family along the way. I think that's awesome. So he's going to share his top three tips for 2017. And I want to invite you. I've mentioned this to you a couple times now, but I want you to take action this time. If you have any interest in getting the framework, the systems, the roadmap, the one-on-one coaching, the community, all of the stuff that my Automate Grow Sell Bootcamp has, if you're even remotely interested in that, hop on the webinar coming up this Thursday at 8 p.m. It's totally free. I'm going to give you a walkthrough and a live demo slash tour of what it is, what you get, and why it can change everything for your business. Not even kidding. Not even exaggerating at all. So it is, you know, a pitch for the bootcamp. That's what it is. We're opening up registrations. We're doing a huge promotion. There's going to be a super low limited time price on it, but at least take a peek. It's not going to be, you know, pressure or anything like that, but you can come chat, ask questions, and at least take a look inside. Just go to automategrowsell.com/best year. Go to automategrowsell.com/best year. Do it. It'll be worth it. I promise. Let's listen to Jonathan.
Welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast with Joshua Latimer, where we discuss business, life, family, faith, struggle, fire, pain, and ultimately winning.
It's time to take massive action. Look, I can't work harder on your life or business than you do. It's ultimately all on you.
You know, God created all the food the birds would ever need, but he doesn't put it in their nest. You've got to go get it.
10 out of 10 people die. So how about doing something today that actually matters while you still can? Hey, everybody, Josh here. Thank you for hanging out with me on the Quick Talk Podcast. I am super excited to talk to my good buddy, Jonathan Potoshnick. Many, many, many of you listened to his original episode back several months ago, and it was a wild hit. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of downloads. I got emails and comments and Facebook messages from people all over. He's the CEO and founder of Service Autopilot. It's a really, really sweet CRM. Very, very good stuff. They have, you know, thousands of businesses using it. I think over 15,000 users. It's a huge thing. He started that, bootstrapped it. Crazy story. Also has, you know, a lawn care business with like 50 trucks running. I mean, doing millions in revenue. He's humble, he's successful, and he's generous enough to hang out with us today to give you three tips on how you can crush 2017 and have your very best year ever in business. Whew! Jonathan, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Josh. I'm glad to be chatting with you again.
Yeah, sorry for the long and impassioned intro. I'm very excited to get your perspective on goal setting. I mean, there's no way that you're not one of those people who knows how to set and accomplish goals. And if there's one trend I notice with all the high achievers I've been blessed to meet over the last year, is that they're really good at setting and accomplishing goals, building strategies and everything that goes with it. And I think a lot of the little businesses, there's something missing in that area. So I want to do this special series to get some insight from people like you. So what's point number one on how the average business can have an amazing 2017?
So number one, to me, without question, would be, and it applies to both small businesses and it applies to the larger business, the medium-sized business. This applies to everyone. I think it's this concept of focusing on simplification. And so what I mean by that, and I think about this quite a bit. In fact, I didn't understand, and I'll explain the concept in a moment. I didn't fully understand it, but now looking back on my businesses, because I've had a number of them that have been most successful, that have grown the quickest, been the most successful, the ones I became the most passionate about, they had this common theme of focusing on a specific type of client, so you could call it a niche, But on top of that, in multiple areas of the business, we focused significantly on simplifying the business. And so what I mean by that is, if you think about your team, if you think about your client, they want simplification. Like, your team wants to know, what is the message we're communicating? What is it we should be saying to the client? How should we be doing our job? What should we be doing? They want it. They want clarity on what the offering is. They want clarity on all these areas because it makes them more successful. It allows them to know exactly what to do. It allows them, as I said, to know exactly what to say to the client. Then when you think about it from the client's perspective, they want it to be simple. They want to go on your website and sign up, or they want to call somebody and get all their questions answered and not feel like they're being talked to via a script and have, you know, everything answered and sign up, probably no contract, and just like how easy. They want everything fast and easy. I mean, that's what the client wants. They want speed and they want ease. Well, speed and ease come from simplification. And so the way to think about simplification is, yeah, I think it starts with figuring out who your client type is. What, there's a bazillion types of clients that you could serve in your business. You've got commercial, you got residential, and then within the commercial and residential markets, you've got all kinds of service offering. You've got clients that are in a certain demographic. You have clients that make a certain amount of money. You have all these factors. But when you can simplify it down to a very specific group of clients and then craft a simplistic meaning service offering, meaning you don't have 20 services you offer, you have a few services you offer, and then you can simplify your marketing. Then you don't need five types of marketing. You only need a couple types of marketing in the beginning, maybe door hangers and organic search or something, and then you add another one, but you don't need 10 different things going on. You just need two or three things that are working really well. And then you simplify your billing practices. Then you simplify the way the client signs up for service with you. Then you simplify the way that they communicate with you. And if you just take that trend, that or that concept of simplification all the way down from the top of the funnel, if you imagine in terms of how you market, all the way down to the end result of performing the work and billing the client. If you think about all the steps in that process of serving your client, acquiring and serving, how can you simplify every one of those steps? And then as a result, simplify all the messaging that's going out to the market.
That's incredible. That is incredible.
I would, yeah. I don't know if I said it, but I started to say it. I realized this trend that without question, I think is what's made my businesses successful has been this. And I'm so convinced that this is the key that I wouldn't start another business, I would invest in somebody's business unless simplification was a huge focus. Like, that was the part of the business model. We are going to simplify everything. If that wasn't part of the model, if that wasn't the attitude of whomever I'm investing in, if that wasn't how they thought, if they weren't bought in, I wouldn't invest in that business no matter how exciting it was. Wow. Because I think it is the winning strategy.
I you caught me off guard with this one, and because I'm really looking at my own businesses as you're talking and really having some light bulbs go on for me personally, right? Because, you know, I have the podcast, I do the cleaning stuff, you know, in the past, moved to Costa Rica, but you know, now that I'm in the software game like you are, you know, you're very experienced, very, very successful. I'm kind of just getting going, you know, we're smaller still. This is a huge, huge point for me. You know, I'm taking notes as you're talking because I also work with small businesses, Jonathan, that it's almost like they feel proud of themselves for overcomplicating things. Like, they build like a 17-tab spreadsheet to track metrics and their business does 20 grand a year. And it's like, well, we don't need to probably do that right now, right? Like, I don't know if it's like totally a badge agree. Of honor to have too many metrics, too many KPIs, too many points in the process. Why do you think people do that?
I think two things. One, that's how some of us are wired. I totally buy into this thing called Colby. And so you think about how, if anybody knows what that is, you think about how a person's wired. Some people are wired to be systems people. And so their tendency is going to be to create systems in their company. And creating too many systems too early in the business does nothing to slow you down. You know, there's this rule of 3 and 10, which would be a whole nother podcast. And basically it says everything in your business breaks at every 3rd and 10th step within the business. So my point here is that if you build too many systems too early in the business, it's all going to break. So for example, if it's just you and you build a whole bunch of systems, when you get your third person, well, things start to slip. And then when you get your 10th person, now you've got a manager and all kinds of things start slipping. And the systems that you did create, now you need different systems and new systems. And so that's one. You know, a lot of people are wired to create systems and complexity before it's needed, personality type. Others have been told that's what you should do. They haven't really thought through it. You know, they read the E-Myth and it's totally legit and correct, but maybe it's not the thing to be doing when you have three people. Maybe it's the thing to be doing when you have 10. maybe, you know, that's a point of discussion.
Yep.
Then the other one is, I think, a form of procrastination. I think back about myself. I mean, when I was just out of high school, I had a lawn care business. I started a vending business and I bought a van. I read every trade journal. I went and saw every vendor that made a vending machine. I can't even think of all the things that I did and had to get just right, just perfect before I actually went out and knocked on my first door to put a vending machine in a commercial building. And looking back on that, it was just procrastination. I was scared to go knock on doors.
Oh,
I was scared
man.
To go get the business.
I
was inventing stuff to make me feel like I was being successful, to make me feel like I was moving forward. And I wasn't. I was totally wrong. And so I think that's another big point.
Holy smokes. That is definitely something I am positive with a lot of the people I work with is happening. There's a fear.
We all do it.
A fear of getting out there. And so it's on a subconscious level. I mean, self-limiting beliefs. We're scared we're going to try and fail and all that. And so we overcomplicate. Wow. Fascinating. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So
no. And I'll tell you, I am not like a simplification kind of guy. I'm like, I want every opportunity and I don't want to miss out on anything. And I got 5 million ideas and we should do them all. That is like, I am not wired to be that guy, but I keep getting slapped in the face. Like, geez, every time we think that way, things get better and easier. And my businesses don't even fully represent totally achieving this. I can give you 50,000 things we should simplify. We're just slowly working on one more at a time. But the more we do, the happier we all are, and the better things go, and the faster things go.
Amazing. I love it. So number one, focus on simplification. Absolutely great. I can't wait to hear what number two is, Jonathan.
So number two, and maybe all of these come from my personal life. Maybe that's why
they're so good.
The ones that we should be
pain is an excellent teacher.
Yeah, so here's what I was thinking when you asked me if I'd do this. So number one, I was going to give you a business one. Number two, I want to give you a personal one because I think it's all connected at the end of the day. So number two is slowing down. Totally from my life here. Like, again, I don't want to miss out on anything. I want to do it all. You know, in 2008, I had 4 companies at one point. That stuff isn't awesome for having a great marriage and bringing up awesome kids that are going to be successful and well-rounded and quality people. It's not great for continuing hobbies or having fun, which is half the, you know, what I mean by this is just work, 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 next goal, next project. So this concept here of slowing down, if you want to, there's a lot of ways to apply this. I'll give you 3 examples, probably heard them before, but the reason why, if you want some justification on why you should consider this idea of slowing down, how in the world in our businesses do we make any improvement or do we change anything if we don't slow down and have time to think and have time to critically look at what we're doing, how things are working in the business, who we're serving, who's on our team? If you don't have time to think and get out of the weeds, how do you make change? How do you make improvement? Most of us are so hurried and busy, totally me, historically, that we are just go, 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 head down in the weeds, one fire, one problem, one opportunity after another, and then we don't make the smartest and the best decisions. And it comes from a place of just constantly doing because we have probably trained that behavior in ourselves. There's pride in working really hard. There's pride in outworking everybody, and which I do feel pride in having been that person. But that doesn't necessarily make you the most successful person. Like the people that are driving the world now are the thinkers, the big thinkers, the guys that are thinking clearly and saying, okay, this is what we should not be doing. Here are the few things we should be doing, and here's the best way to be doing them, and here's strategically where we should be going. The more time you get to do that, the better you'll utilize your resources, your marketing resources, your employee resources. And so this slowing down and thinking is critical. So it's a personal thing, but you can totally justify it if your focus at this moment in life is predominantly business. You can totally justify this way of thinking because the end result it will make you more successful in business. So how do you slow down? Well, one example, many guys are working 7 days a week. Many guys are working every evening. You know, what if you have a rule and you don't work after a certain time? What my rule, my entire, I've been married now, it's crazy, but 19 years, I've had dinner with my family almost every night. Now, in the early years, I went back to work at the house at night, but I wish I hadn't in hindsight now because I don't think it was totally necessary. However, could you have a simple rule like that? Like, we're going to if you're married, have a family, can we have dinner every night? I don't work Sundays. can you at least have a rule? I'm not going to work Sundays. And then if you want to do any vacations, you have to plan those out in advance. You've got to get them on your calendar. Because if you're like me, when you get close to that vacation, when you can take it, and now you're about to plan it, you won't do it. You'll put it off because there's too many things going to work. So you got to plan them in advance. And these aren't even new ideas. Like, I didn't come up with these ideas. These are ideas that other, like, really wise people have mentioned, but I have found them to be great practices. So schedule your vacations. And if you say, well, I'll do vacations later because we don't have any money, all the money's going to the business, you can go like 2 hours away for a weekend. You can go stay in an inexpensive hotel for the weekend, or you could go stay with some friends, just like get out of your space. Mm-hmm. That could be a vacation now, and they can improve later. So how can you find time to not work in the evenings, not work on Sunday, take more vacations? That's just the first step. From there, it can grow and be, you can take more vacation. I believe without question, when you do that stuff, you will find that you will have a lot of mental breakthroughs. You will have clarity. You'll have new ideas. You don't solve problems at work generally. You solve most problems when you're not working because your brain is switched off and your subconscious can solve those problems. And that's when you usually have the flashes of, as they would say, genius.
Wow.
So slowing down is number two.
That is epic. I don't have nothing to add. I don't want to get in your way. Keep going, Jonathan. Go ahead with point number three. So point number one, focus on simplification. Point number two, slowing down. I'm just going to move and let the train roll here.
Go. Just remember on – just think about – last point on slowing down. I'll go right in the next one. Just think about this. You will work for, let's say, 10 years building your thing with the idea maybe that you want to sell it. Then you'll sell it. For 10 years, you trained yourself to have a certain behavior. Work really hard. Do you really think that after 10 years you'll be able to just stop? No, you're going to start another thing. You're going to have a new goal. Maybe you take 4 months off, but you're going to do another thing. And you're just going to keep going. Or maybe you don't even sell your thing. You work for 10 years and then you just set a new goal. Oh, we got to 5 million. Now we're going to 10. That's how we're wired. We're achievers. We just set the next goal. We create the next project. We add the next to-do to our list. And so you're just going to have to build that into your lifestyle, because odds are if you're successful and you will be, and you figure out how to build your company, you're probably not going to just quit and sit on a beach. Very few people that are wired to be entrepreneurs have found success in that ultimate lifestyle. And so if you think about this as a journey where you're going to be on this journey for the long haul, then you might as well have fun while you're going through the process. Mm-hmm. And that requires slowing down a bit. Point number two is a combination of both business and personal. So this one will move forward both your personal world and your business world. So I have this belief, again, comes from personal experience, that you have this domino in your life. There's this thing, and you're not dealing with it. And the way it would manifest itself is you're thinking about it. You're frustrated about it. You're unhappy about it. You wake up thinking about it. You kick yourself every few days, like, why didn't I get that done? It's the beginning of 17. So this would be an example of a New Year's resolution. In 2016, you said you were going to do this thing. You were going to be this person. Something was going to change. You probably even said in 2015, didn't happen. So it's this example.
We all do. Been there.
So it's this example thing in your life that just it's like the thing I'm going to do this year. It's the number one thing on your mind. You make a little progress and then you kick that ball down the road. And at the beginning of the next year, it's the same thing all over again. It's this domino item, and it's draining your energy. It's frustrating you. It's creating a belief in you that you don't really get everything done that you say you're going to do, or you're not really going to become the guy you say or gal you say you're going to become because you haven't accomplished this number one thing. I have no idea what it is for you. I'll tell you what the domino thing is for me. And it's, you know, because of the amount of travel we do and events we go to and things like that, it's very easy. I generally eat super healthy, but it's very easy to get out of the eating healthy routine, or sleeping enough routine, or exercising enough routine, especially in the second half of the year for me. Well, it's my domino. It's the thing that I think about. If I put on a few pounds, if I'm not exercising, I don't feel as good, then I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated with myself. Well, that is a domino in that it's draining my mental energy. It's the number one thing I'm personally frustrated about. And then on top of that, it's the thing that when I feel better, when I'm exercising, eating right, sleeping enough, I'm a different person personally. I mean, so that means I'm a better dad, I'm a better spouse, I'm a better friend, whatever. And then I'm a different leader at my company. I have more energy. I can go all day. I have new ideas. My brain's more clear. I'm thinking of new ideas. Now, that's my personal thing. Yours might be a relationship thing. It might be a business partner thing. It might be eating and sleeping and all of that stuff. But there's a thing. There's something you've been saying, I'm going to do it, and you still haven't done it. And if you were like pigheaded determined for the next couple weeks, couple months, in this months, this was your number one focus above everything else, and you just got this thing solved in your life, what might that do to all the other dominoes downstream in your business and personal life? Might everything else come together?
Yeah. Well, have you read the book, The One Thing by Gary Keller?
Nope. I don't think so.
No. Okay. So it's just a popular book. I keep referencing it on the podcast, so the listeners are probably like, oh, Josh, stop it with The One Thing. But he essentially says, you know, which single thing could you accomplish that by doing so would make all of the other things you need to accomplish either easier or unnecessary, right? I think that's profound. Mm. Like, it's amazing because there's so many things we could do. And I think, Jonathan, it's hard to focus on what we should do. So the difference between could and should, and then taking what we should do and then prioritizing it. It's almost like it's easy to get numb to your own situation. And when I work with businesses, I know you feel this way. It's so clear what people need to do when I look at it from the outside in. But I also know how muddy and murky and cloudy it is to be the guy in the middle of the weeds and just not see the obvious. But I think you're right. We have to, at all costs, find that thing and knock down that thing. Because by doing so, everything else is going to just move up a level and be smoother. It's like, it's just so true. And everything you said was really profound. The whole simplification thing and then slowing down and getting those vacations planned and going home and working proper hours. You're not going to make more money by trading more efforts. You can be more productive when you have a clear head and then find your thing for you is health and fitness. For me, that's my thing right now too, is getting my fitness back and getting my health back. I just think it's amazing. You just dropped some serious like neutron bombs of value on our listeners, and I'm very grateful.
Very grateful.
So, do you have any closing thoughts, or how can people check out Service Autopilot as well? Because it's literally an amazing product for anybody that listens to the show. Let us know how we can connect with you, and give us some closing thoughts.
Yeah, I appreciate that. The easiest way to check us out is literally just to visit serviceautopilot.com. We'll do whatever we can do to help you. Who knows what industry you're in. If you're not a fit, our team will tell you, hey, we're not the right company for you. And if we are the right company for you, we'll do everything we can possibly do to help you get going and take care of you. So, yeah, I'd appreciate it if you check out serviceautopilot.com. And in terms of parting thoughts, you know, I think it's this domino thing. I just think we're all – it's that. What I think so many of us do, and I know it's not just me, we – have so many ideas, so many ambitions, so many things we want to accomplish, and so many opportunities coming at us that we just want to grab hold of all that stuff. And it's counterintuitive to think that if we just literally solve this thing and then this thing and this thing, we would get to where we want to go way, way faster. And I'll add, I have not been wired to be the guy that thinks that way. I've only learned this by going through it the hard way and listening to smart people say, hey, you should try this, and finding out, you know what? Pretty dang good idea. That works. So if I could encourage you and leave you with one thing, figure out this one thing that's draining your energy, that's sucking up your brain power, that's frustrating you, that's making you question yourself, that sort of beats you down, that makes you question, you know, because you haven't got this done, can you really turn your company into the thing that you want it to be? Can you ever create that life that you really, really so badly want? Or are you sort of destined to continue to be the guy or gal that doesn't get everything done that they said they were going to get done or become the person they said they were going to be? I think you can prove to yourself that that's not who you are by focusing on this thing. Solve this problem at the beginning of 17 and then move on to the next one. And when you look back at the end of the year, you will be fascinated and amazed at how far you've come.
Awesome. Great, great stuff. Jonathan, thank you so much for your time. Everybody, go to serviceautopilot.com. Check it out. Hey, you have a happy new year, and we will be connecting hopefully very soon in the future, Jonathan. Thank you so much.
We will. Thank you. See ya.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you loved today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.